absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello once again. Sunday morning, and it's football Sunday. Yes, it is. And you know who time it is. 10 a.m., and I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And you know. You just know this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Also, we have a chat room open for your convenience. You lay whatever your knowledge you want to put in the chat room or ask a question, make a statement. You could do that also. It's all for your convenience. I want to welcome all you callers listening early in the morning before we get the fantasy day started. We're going to be talking about quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and also defenses. You know, defenses are able to win your matchups too. It can happen. And you pick the right one or you pick the wrong one. It can take you to a win or take you to a loss. Plain and simple. And like I said, we're going to go each and every game like we do every week during the fantasy and football season. So let's go without further ado. Let me put it this way. First of all, before I go any further, I want to send my condolences out to Adrian Peterson and his family for the simple reason that this person, this 27-year-old man, had the care of a 2-year-old infant and decided to do what he did. Now, it's allegedly, but, I mean, it's like a done deal. He was the only one there, and this kid sustained injuries that led to his passing away. My condolences to the family. I don't know much more can say. I mean, what are we coming to here? Why is this happening over and over again? And it's not just in the hood. It happens in middle America. It happens in the lowest of incomes. And it's happened to a star. I mean, this guy is one of the best, if not the best, running back in the league. Not saying that he's exempt from this, but you wouldn't think something like this would happen. But it did. And it's a shame. It's really a shame. We have sick people out there that feel they take their frustration or can do what they want to do to someone that's absolutely defenseless, whether it be a woman, whether it be an infant, a child, or whatever. It's not right. It's not right. All right. Enough of the sad things. I want to do this.
I want to do this.
I want to go to the first game. Okay? We're going to spend this hour going through all these games. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. I gave you the phone number. I even put yourself in the chat room if you want to do it that way. I have no problem with that. I'm also going to give you some picks that I think you can pick up today or pick up. Yeah, you can pick up today because they may benefit you in the future. I've talked about a few of these already, and I'm going to be rehashing them until they, I would say until they break out, or when they break out, because I do believe some of these players that I'm going to give you are going to eventually break out, okay? And that's going to put a smile on your face, and hopefully it help you win your matchup for that week. Anyway, let's stop supposedly tooting my own horn, and let's go this way. Now, Buffalo Bills have two rookie quarterbacks and a quarterback, and one rookie quarterback, their starting quarterback, is out. The other starting quarterback, another rookie, he started last game, didn't fare so well. So the Buffalo Bills, who are hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, are bringing in a practice squad quarterback named Thad Lewis out of Duke to face a Cincinnati defense. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, okay? Cincinnati's got a tough D, and this is one of my defenses. Not Cincinnati. This is one of my defenses that would be a good play today because the fact is Cincinnati's been struggling to score points. The 3 weeks that Buffalo has played at home, two of those 3 weeks, they've had double-digit fantasy points for defense. So my play for you today, one of them, for defense, if you're searching for a defense and you don't like the choices that are still on the waiver wire, but the Buffalo Bills happen to be sitting there, Andy Dalton hasn't been lighting up the scoreboard. They're struggling to find points, and they're on the road in Buffalo. And if you watched any of the Buffalo Bills games when they've played at home, they've played lights out, and they've been turning the ball over from the opposing offense. Play the Buffalo Bills defense if you don't have any other better options. I think you'll benefit from it. I really do. I really like that pick. In fact, I've done it myself in a few of my leagues, that there's nothing out there. I can't play my regular defense. Maybe it's the Patriots, but the Patriots have been a decent defense to play because they've turned the opposing offense over. But this week, they're playing the New Orleans Saints. It's not a good play. Not a good play. So, searching for a defense, thinking the Buffalo Bills. I like that defense. And in turn, because it's Thad Lewis, you can also play the Bengals defense, which only makes sense. I expect Andy Dalton. Now, the pass defense is pretty good in Buffalo. The run defense is pretty not good in Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo defense. But to me, I don't play Andy Dalton. Don't play Andy Dalton. I'm not an Andy Dalton fan, and I don't believe that you should play him at all. But you definitely play Giovanni Bernard. He's getting more touches, and he's more of a dynamic player than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I know a lot of people have Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I would play him also because he does get goal line carries. But they didn't put it this way. They split goal line carries because Giovanni plays down on that goal line carries too. Quite naturally, you play A.J. Green. There's no two ways about it. He's a stud. You play your studs. Plain and simple. You play your studs. On the other side, these two guys, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller with Thad Lewis, they're going to run the ball a lot. Now, Cincinnati's defense is not that bad. Pretty good. But they're going to pound the football. Pound the football. Now, if I was Cincinnati and if I was a defensive coordinator for Cincinnati, I got Thad Lewis, a quarterback that coming off the practice squad and going to start this game. I'm stacking the box against the run because I'm thinking the Buffalo Bills are going to run the heck out of the football because they have an inexperienced quarterback in there. And to protect the inexperienced quarterback, you run the football. Okay? But C.J. Spiller is a start for me. Fred Jackson is a start for me. Maybe not on the same team, but they're a start for me. You know what? Stevie Johnson I would temper my expectations with Stevie Johnson, but he's the number one wide receiver. So I think he's going to be targeted a few times, quite a few times. Now, this is a guy, and I've always said this before, and I'll say it again. The best friend for a young or inexperienced quarterback is the tight end. Okay? So if you are missing options, if you don't have Tony Gonzalez, if you don't have Clay from Miami, if you're short on a tight end and you need somebody real, this may be an option for you. In fact, both these tight ends, Tyler Eifert or Jermaine Gresham, Jermaine Gresham more than Tyler Eifert or Scott Chandler. Now, quite naturally, Scott Chandler and Jermaine Gresham are totally two different tight ends, and the skill level is totally different. Jermaine Gresham is a lot better than Scott Chandler. But what I'm saying, if you're searching for a tight end, there's nothing out there. What do you got to lose? You can put Scott Chandler in there. Okay? I'm just saying. Just saying. Let's move on to the Lions and the Browns. Now, there are some implications in here that I'd rather not discuss, but they have to do on the financial side. And I'm talking about the Detroit Lions at the Cleveland Browns. Now, we all have seen the Cleveland Browns resurgence and playing a lot better, and they're tied for the league. They're tied for the division lead at 3-2. Brian Hoyer at one time was the flavor of the month until he got hurt, and Brandon Weeden had a fit very shortly, and then came back and played well since he's been back. Detroit front is pretty stout. They're going to get after Brandon Weeden and put pressure on him. Let's go to Matthew Stafford. Now, you saw last week, and this is tempered and it's a big thing too. It's very big. If Calvin Johnson plays, Matthew Stafford is going to have a very good day. If Calvin Johnson does not play, he's going to struggle. So is Reggie Bush going to struggle. Those three guys work hand in hand. Calvin Johnson, Reggie Bush, and Matthew Stafford. With Calvin Johnson not in, they can stack the box. They can pretty much man up and do a lot. I'm talking about the Cleveland defense. Do a lot more because they don't have to worry about Megatron. Calvin Johnson plays, that gives them another option that I'm talking about Detroit, and that puts more stress on the Cleveland defense. So this is premised on that Calvin Johnson does play, which I do believe he will. Matthew Stafford should throw for over 300 yards because that's what they do. They throw the football. Okay? They throw the football. And I do believe that they're going to do that again. Then you definitely play Reggie Bush. Now, this is the second game on the road. Some teams don't play on the road that well. This is the second game on natural surface. It's grass. So the speed of these running backs and wide receivers that were built for the turf won't be the same. But they have a skill level. I mean, Reggie Bush is used to running on grass, so I mean, it's not like he's only run on the turf. So I think Reggie Bush is going to pick his game up. I think he's going to pick his game up. So you definitely, you know, you play Reggie Bush. The guy I would think, if Calvin Johnson doesn't play well, or doesn't play, is twofold. Possibly Brandon Pettigrew would be an option, but a very slim option. But I think Ryan Broyles, each week he's getting healthier, and it would be a very good option for Matthew Stafford to throw the ball down the field. Of course, Joe Hayden is a big factor. If he plays Calvin Johnson, then Ryan Broyles should have a better day than if he doesn't. If Joe Hayden plays Ryan Broyles, then Matthew Stafford's going to struggle. On the other side, three plays that I really like in this game on the other side. Willis McGahee, because you can run on Detroit. Of course, you play Jordan Cameron. There's no two ways about that. And you know what? I've tried to, and not that I didn't want to try to get rid of this guy, but I've tried to temper him, put him into trades to probably beef up a position of need for me. It's Josh Gordon. I don't know, understand the disrespect that people the lack of respect that people are not giving to Josh Gordon. It boggles my mind. This guy is a big time player, and he's targeted a lot. And if it's PPR, there's no two ways about it. Since he's been back, he's double digits. What are you waiting for, people? Josh Gordon is out there. If he's not picked up, pick him up. But more likely, he's picked up because people realize how good this kid is. Now, he's got Brandon Whedon thrown to him, but so what? So what? He's had double digits for the last 3 weeks since he's been back. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? It's probably too late now. Probably too late. But you probably can get him open on the cheap, because a lot of people just, for some reason, they're not getting it. But Josh Gordon is a hell of a talent. Okay? Hell of a talent. Let's move on to another game that I know this is not a good matchup for him, but he's a good bye week. And if you're in large leagues, excuse me, if you're in large leagues, he can be a starting quarterback. I'm talking about Terrell Pryor. Now, I was a little skeptical, and then I've actually watched Terrell Pryor play the last game. Terrell, he's come a long way, and he seems like he's getting better each week. And you know that a lot of people are hot on mobile quarterbacks. And he's the ultimate mobile quarterback with an arm. His problem was with his accuracy, which I think is getting better. But Kansas City is a tough play for him. They have a heck of a pass rush and a very good secondary and very good linebackers. If you don't have a secondary option and a quarterback and you need a bye week replacement, or if you're in a large league and he happens to be sitting out there, and your quarterback play is not what you wanted, not what you expected to be. Hey, what's wrong with picking up Terrell Pryor? I have, and he's done well for me, because I turned a believer in Terrell Pryor. Not unlike he's a Tom Brady, but he gives you that dual threat, just like I've always talked about dual threat running backs that are able to catch the ball along with their primary job, which is running. This is a dual threat quarterback. He can run and he can pass the ball at will. So He might as well use what the assets that he has, the skill set that he has, for your benefit. And, you never know. It may win you a week. It did for me last week. I can tell you that. There is no play that – there's no – Darren McFadden's not playing. So you can forget that. And he's very shaky at best. Now, Denarius Moore is getting a very good rapport with Terrell Pryor. So Denarius Moore is a wide receiver three play for me, with possibly wide receiver two payoff. So that's not a bad play. Alex Smith, very consistent, very, very consistent, and doesn't make a lot of big mistakes. He's definitely a good play. One of my favorite running backs, which is Jamal Charles, there's no doubt about it that he's playing. Now, this is there's two guys. Now, Dwayne Bowe hasn't been able to look like get away from press coverage. And Alex Smith doesn't take chances down the field. So this is another one of my sneaky picks. Donnie Avery over Dwayne Bowe. I know. Donnie Avery, trust me, Alex Smith is Mr. Checkdown. Donnie Avery plays in the slot. He gets a lot of checkdowns. He'll get a lot of checkdowns for you. If Donnie Avery plays, and you're looking for a wide receiver three, or even a, well, I don't know about a flex, but if you're looking for a wide receiver three, Donnie Avery is not a bad option for you. I'll tell you that right now. Not a bad option for you at all. Let's move on to this game, which is going to be a tough game to watch. No, I wouldn't say tough game to watch, but it's going to be a tough game, okay? A lot of America is probably going to be watching this game. I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers going to Minnesota to play the Vikings. Like I said earlier, Adrian Peterson lost his 2-year-old son to a brutal assault, and he's going to be playing today. He may have tough going against a very tough Carolina run defense. And Carolina struggles to put up points. I mean, they put up 30-something on the Giants.
But consider
that the Giants are 0-6 and are a horrible defense. And they were playing, Carolina was playing at home. So, all those factors led to the win for the Carolina Panthers. But I think they're on the road against a super inspired Minnesota Viking team. You play Cam Newton. Minnesota can be passed on. Can definitely be passed on. So you play Cam Newton because he can be passed on. You know, they can be run on too. Minnesota can be run on. And believe it or not, D'Angelo Williams has been running very well. And I think he's a running back too, and he's definitely a flex play. There's no two ways about it. Definitely a flex play. So play him. All right? Greg Olsen, there's one thing I can tell you about Minnesota, and it's this. If nothing else, they're one of the worst teams, and historically they've been one of the worst teams against a tight end. And Greg Olsen should have a very good day today. Number one is what I just told you about the weakness that Minnesota has against a tight end. Number two, the second option that Cam Newton has, besides Steve Smith, is Greg Olsen, because they can't count on a consistent play from the wide receiver on the other side of the field. So Greg Olsen, Steve Smith, quite naturally, in my opinion, are both playable. There's no two ways about it. Now, the Minnesota offense is going to be always go through AP. So AP is going to run the ball. He's going to get his 80 to 100 yards and a touchdown. But I think the play of Greg Jennings gets picked up along with Jerome Simpson, because of the change in quarterback. Matt Castle is the quarterback. More experienced, more accurate, and I'm not saying he's the end-all, the be-all, but he's more accurate and a more experienced quarterback to get the ball to Greg Jennings and Jerome Simpson. So, in my opinion, those two guys, Greg Jennings is a wide receiver, too. In my opinion, Jerome Simpson is a 3-4, meaning wide receiver 3-4, something like that. But if you haven't picked up Greg Jennings, hopefully he doesn't break out too much today. Pick him up, because the reason I'm saying this is I don't think Christian Ponder is going to be in the starting lineup unless somebody gets hurt. After this week, I think, or next week, after next week, or the week after, no later than the week after. They signed Josh Freeman for a reason. $3 million contract for a year. They didn't sign him to sit on the bench. So Josh Freeman, after a while, is going to be starting. He's got a big arm. Pick up Greg Jennings. Pick up, I'm telling you. With a running game like they have at Adrian Peterson and the wide receivers that they have, I'm not saying Jerome Simpson is an all-pro, but with a big arm, they're going to be able to get the ball down the field, and Josh Freeman is one of those quarterbacks that can do that. So either pick up Greg Jennings or stash Josh Freeman on your bench until he starts playing, because I think he's going to have a resurgence of his career in Minnesota. And remember, I said it here. A lot of people are writing off Josh Freeman. I don't think he needs to be written off quite yet. So, I'm just saying. Just saying. All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket. And that's the Eagles and the visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are coming off a bye, who their rookie quarterback Mike Glennon is a starter. Look for Tampa Bay coming off the bye to run the ball more. This is another guy. For those of you who are disappointed in what Doug Martin's been doing, he's been getting... Well, he's on pace to get the most carries, the most touches in the league. On pace for that. Okay? He's going to get the rock a lot. You have to think, coming off a bye and being at home, these guys are going to be inspired to get their first win. It's going to be tough coming up against a potent offense like this. But they're going to run the ball a lot because Philly can be run on. And they're going to protect their young quarterback. But when the quarterback throws the ball, he's got two reliable wide receivers on both sides of the field to throw to. Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams. Vincent Jackson is definitely a play for me. Don't leave him on your bench unless you have better options. And Mike Williams is a wide receiver 3 for me. Absolutely. But unfortunately, Doug Martin may have a big day today, and if he does, your Doug Martin owners are going to be feeling a lot better about him and won't want to give him up. So that window may have passed to pick up Doug Martin. On the other side, Nick Foles is supposed to start. Nick Foles is going to start because Michael Vick is not going to play. So, Nick Foles is going to start. And they're going to do the same thing as the Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay's defense against the run is very stout. extremely stout. But they're going to get the ball to McCoy, running between the tackles, running outside, and also running and passing the ball in a short dump out in space to LeSean McCoy. There's been a lot of chatter, but there's been chatter that DeSean Jackson saying that Darrell Revis can't keep up with him. So you know Darrell Revis is going to be on DeSean Jackson, and DeSean Jackson's got speed to spare, or speed to burn, I put it this way. So if you temper your – I wouldn't temper my expectations of DeSean Jackson, because I think besides Revis, I think they're going to have a safety over the top to protect Revis, because quite naturally he's coming off of ACL. He wasn't the fastest DB before, and coming off of ACL, it's going to slow him down a little bit, and DeSean Jackson's got blades and speed. But I still would play DeSean Jackson, and I expect him to get the points that may be estimated to get. He's going to get 6 or 7 catches, close to 80 yards, and I think he gets in the end zone on a big play from Nick Foles. They're going to put pressure on Nick Foles, I tell you that. Tampa Bay's going to put pressure on Nick Foles, coming at him left and right to try to disrupt him. He's going to play inspired football, coming off a bye. That's key, coming off a bye. Had 2 weeks to prepare, 2 weeks to get healthy for whatever ailments they may have that they can get healthy from. And the fact is they're 0-4, and they're a desperate team. A lot of factors going up against Philly with Tampa Bay at home coming off a bye. I'm not picking games. I'm just picking players. You take it from there. This is another team. Both these teams, we'll see what they're made of. Two former Super Bowl champion teams, one from last year, the other one from a few years back. I'm talking about the Packers and the Ravens playing each other, with Packers visiting Ravens. Now, Joe Flacco always plays better at home. Always plays better at home. So, as bad as he was last week with the 5 interceptions, I expect him to play better this week. Because the fact is that he didn't have 5 interceptions. That's right, they played the Dolphins. My bad. But my point is this. I'll just say this. My point is this, that Flacco always plays better at home, for the most part. I mean, you know, he throws in a clunker, but his best games are mainly in the regular season, are mainly at home. And I think he can do it here. So I have Michael Vick on one of my teams, and quite naturally I know he's not playing, so my backup was Joe Flacco. So I feel comfortable in putting Joe Flacco in his place. I may not get the dual threat that I get from Michael Vick, but I think I'll make up for it with the play of Joe Flacco and being able to get the ball, short dump off to Ray Rice, passes to Torrey Smith or Marlon Brown, who I think is a good play in here. I think both these guys, Torrey Smith and Marlon Brown, are very good plays in here. Torrey Smith, in my opinion, is the wide receiver one. Wide receiver one, you say? Yes, wide receiver one. I like Torrey Smith a lot in this game, and Marlon Brown takes the underneath stuff does a lot with it. I think Marlon Brown's a wide receiver three, of course you're playing Ray Rice. There's no two ways about it. Of course you're playing Eddie Lacy, because Baltimore Ravens can be run on, and your window of getting Eddie Lacy at a cheap price may be over. They're coming off a bye. They're playing on a road, but they've gotten healthy, especially in the running back position. And Eddie Lacy should have a very good day running against that Baltimore Raven defense. If you have one of the three wide receivers, consider yourself fortunate with the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks in the league, Aaron Rodgers, thrown to him. Any one of these guys are destined to have a big day, especially if it happens to be Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson. They're more consistent in big days than James Jones. And don't leave out the other fourth wide receiver slash tight end who had, I think he had a concussion the week before the bye, Jermichael Finley. He gets in the mix too. They use him and like a wide receiver also, even though he's in the tight end position. So they have a lot of weapons. And this should be a very entertaining game. I would play, if you have any of these players, I would play them with no problem. They're all playable. I'm talking about Eddie Lacy, Jermichael Finley, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. James Jones is probably the only one that would probably be a wide receiver three. And I'm giving you a lot of wide receiver threes because that's how I see it right now. It is what it is. All right, let me move on to the Rams and the Texans, my Texans. If you look at the statistics, the Texans haven't broke 100 total points out of the first five games they played. So that means they scored less than 20 points a game. 17, 18 points is about the range that they score. Yeah, about 18 point whatever, 18 points a game. That's not good. That's not good, especially when your defense has been scored against 140 points. So just think about that. If you scored less than 100 points on an offense, and you've been scored it on over almost 140 points. 27 points. That's almost 28 points. That's almost a 10-point difference. Almost a 10-point difference, and you're only 2-3. So I'm talking about the Texans. The Rams are one of the youngest teams in the league. The Texans can't be run on. They can't be run on. The Rams have one of the worst running offenses in the league. But I do still like Zach Stacy as a flex option. Plain and simple. He's got the reins. The rookie has the reins and the running back position. So I would play him in a flex. Jared Cook, to me, is a shaky play. It's not someone I would play against the Texans. Texans have very good linebackers and safeties. I don't think I would play Jared Cook unless I had no other option. Then you definitely have to play him. Now, this guy here, Austin Pettis, has been a surprise to me. I thought he was a bust, but he's Sam Bradford's go-to guy. And he's been going to quite a bit, and Sam Bradford likes him a lot. So, in my opinion, I've been wrestling with this. In my opinion, trying to figure out where I want to put this guy. I would put him in the flex play. I would, because the fact is, especially in PPR, Sam Bradford's going to go to him, so you're going to pick up receptions. It may not be a lot of yards, but you're going to pick up receptions. But 50, 60 yards and double-digit double-digit fantasy points in the flex position is very good. And it's a strong possibility that he gets in the end zone if they get down there. that Sam Bradford's going to look for his security blanket, and which happens to be Austin Pettis. So it is what it is. Now, Matt Schaub is under the gun. He's got to play well today. He's playing at home against a very weak opponent. He's got to play well. Otherwise, Gary Kubiak says he's going to pull him and put in T.J. Yates, which I happen to be a Texans fan. I have no problem with him doing that, and I have all the confidence in the world in T.J. Yates. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are discounting this kid because he's a young backup, but he played well when he was put in there when he was a rookie. So he's got a couple more years experience and sitting behind watching what to do and what not to do. So I don't think there's going to be a drop off. In fact, there may be an improvement. Everybody always likes the backup. Well, I'm saying this backup is more than capable of doing the job. And I have a caller here, and I think I know who it is. Let me bring this guy in. Welcome to the master plan. Come on. Oh, God. Hold on, caller. Give me a shot here. I'm waiting for it to process. For some reason, it's not going to process the way. Right away, I gotta wait. Oh, God, I hate this board. Hold on a minute here. Why is this happening? I don't know if it's my PC or if it's the. Every now and then this happens, and. Wow. Now all I have is turning. I'm trying to get this caller in. I know who it is. Hopefully I can get him in. Hold on a minute here. Let me try again. See what there he is.
There you go.
Hey. I don't know what's going on. This thing acts up every now and then. I don't know if it's me or it's my PC or if it's the freaking board. Anyway, welcome, Mr.
It's
FSB.
You.
How you doing there? of course, you would say
it's
that.
You. But, you know, one way to try to alleviate that is to refresh your page and then redo it.
I just did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, VTR has some bugs, and maybe it'll get fixed, maybe it won't. We'll never know. But I heard you talking about your team, your surrogate team, those Houston Texans, and, you know, the Marshall Plan is what the Marshall folks talking about on NFL Network, how you need to see a heavy dose of Ben Tate and Arian Foster today
to help
Marshawn. And one thing that's very interesting is that the sideline reporter for NFL Network said that the players had even said they would like to see more of the running game to set up the pass for Matt Schaub. So, you know, I think that's important too. So you can get your play action passes, but first you got to run the ball so that everybody's aware. So whether it's T.J. Yates or Matt Schaub, it doesn't matter. The running game needs to be pressed. I'm just saying. Y'all didn't want to call him a cotton ball or nothing like that, you know.
Yeah, you and Black are on my court. That's all right, though. That's okay.
I mean, I told you what it is. It's the Jerry effect. You did it to Jet. Now you're doing it to the Texans. Just don't come like the Redskins. That's all I got to say. I appreciate it.
No, I don't think I'm ever going to go that route. I'm not a glutton for punishment, so I don't want to go that route.
Well, apparently you are because you caused all the teams you support to go downhill like a year after you join them.
Anyway, I understand you wanted to put that in there. I do believe that they're going to run the ball quite a bit. So you're going to have a heavy dose of Arian Foster and Ben Tate. Owen Daniels isn't out, and this is one of my picks that a lot of people probably haven't picked up yet, or maybe, or the astute ones have. This guy was getting targets, even when Owen Daniels was healthy. And he, I think he had a string of like three straight games when he got into the end zone early in the season, talking about Garrett Graham as a tight end. Well, Owen Daniels is out, people. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Garrett Graham is the number one tight end now, and he was already involved in the offense. Now he's going to be more heavily involved because Matt Schaub does like to check down to his tight end quite a bit, and Garrett Graham's going to be the recipient of that. And I also expect him to get in the end zone because he does get targeted down in the red zone when they do get down there. I made a point to also emphasize, Vic, that, and I looked at it and I couldn't believe it, my Houston Texans have on average 18 points a game and given up an average of almost 28 points a game. That's a huge.
It's a huge difference. I told you, it's the Jerry effect. Same thing happened with your dad on Jets. When Sanchez is at 18 points a game, 15 points a game on defense. I'm telling you, you do something to the offense. By the way, just to have off topic real quick, do you know who won the Bradley Marquez fight?
No, I don't. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was busy like heck yesterday. When I was talking to you yesterday, I was on a job and working at the time. And then when I left that, I had to grab something real quick, get something to eat, and then I had to do a computer job later that evening. So, and I was so dog tired when I came home, I went to bed very early. I still don't know what the outcome of the fight was.
That's okay. You got to make more money. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, since somebody's not paying me, I got to make more money.
Hey, you owe me $400 for a whole year.
I know, man.
I'm coming. You better pray that the government reopens.
Yeah, I know. But.
Well, anyway, you're lucky you didn't bet me last week, or we'd be even Steven. And if he does change the scoring back to where it should be, you're going to owe me money. So that's all I'm going to say on that one.
Say that again?
If he changes the scoring back, I mean, if he changes going to what, you know, Jeff and I and a few others suggested, you get that win you got from me is going to turn to a loss, and then you're going to owe me the money. So, yeah, that's all
don't
I'm
even,
going
to say
about
no, that. No, win's a win, man.
That's all.
A win's a win.
I know.
We can't go back and revisionist history.
Oh, but if he changes it, you know, that means I'll get that win, and you'll take the L, and that means I'll have the money.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Because it was your defense that sucked it up for you. But, yeah, you're right, I don't.
You don't know that. And for the simple reason, you know, it's like, I'll visit this real quick. Each league is different. Each scoring is different. You got to play with what you get, what you're handed. If you don't know how to play with what you're handed, that's not my fault. That's the owner of the team that didn't take the time to look at the scoring and can't adjust. That's all I got to say.
I was not going there, but you'll still lose. Anyway, continue with your diatriba of information.
I know. I like DeAndre Hopkins, and Andre Johnson is supposedly going to play. If he doesn't even play, DeAndre Hopkins, in my opinion, is still a good play. I think this is the cure for the Texans' woes in this matchup. But I'll go from there. And let's go from my new team to my old team.
You're
okay.
Claiming them? Wow.
No, this is my old team. I'm going to say it. Yes, I left the Jets after 40 years. I've gotten tired last year, and it wasn't this year. It was last year when I left the Jets because I've gotten tired of all the garbage and all the bad, poor management decisions. And I'm a Houston Texans fan through and through. I'm losing. I've been losing. So I'm telling you right now, I'm a Houston Texans fan through and through. They just have to fix the things that have been going wrong. This team's got a lot of talent. It's just they're not playing well right now, especially the quarterback. So anyway, let's move on to the Steelers at the Jets. And I've said this over and over again, and I'll say it again. A team coming off a bye is a dangerous team, a very dangerous team, especially against a team that is not a strong offensive team. Let me put it that way. And the Jets, they're okay in the offense. Their strong suit is their defense. The Steelers have been in a shambles before their bye. I have to believe, maybe I'm just hard-headed and not wanting to believe what I see, but I have to believe the Steelers are a lot better team than they've been showing. They've just been a little, I wouldn't say mixed up, but things haven't been going their way. In the first 3 weeks, first 4 weeks, I should say, because they had a bye week last week. But one of the things I do know, because I know the history of these two teams when they play each other, Steelers play the Jets very well. And everyone is expecting or riding that Jet bandwagon. Okay, he played well last week. The week before, he played bad. He's a rookie. I'm talking about Geno Smith. He plays up and down, up and down, up and down. Because he's a rookie, he plays inconsistent. They're going to put a lot of pressure on this kid this week. Dick LeBeau's had a couple weeks to prepare for this kid. They're going to put a lot of pressure on this kid. There's one game I'm going to pick, not because it's a team I left, but because I really believe in any of these games. This is one game I really believe that one team is going to beat the other, and I think the Steelers get their win against the Jets today. Ben Roethlisberger, I know the point, the statistics in fantasy is that the Jets are one of the better teams against the quarterback, but I think Ben is an exception in this game. I think he's going to have a pretty decent game, throwing for a couple touchdowns. I know the Jets are pretty good against the run. I still like this kid, and it did, for some reason, the discounting this kid. I know he came back the last week before they went on a bye. But I really like this kid. I've seen him in the preseason, and I saw him in the last game he played, and he can only get better, in my opinion. I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell. I think this kid is a star on the rise. I know they have a hard time running the ball, but I think this is one of the cures for this team is being able to let Le'Veon Bell run the ball. To me, he's going to get about 70 yards at least in this game, and he's going to get into the end zone. Because he can find the end zone. Good plays for me. Even if Cromartie's playing, he's going to be sore. And I think Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders are going to burn the Jets left or right in this game. They're going to try to run the ball and set up the play action, and Ben's going to get these balls to these two speed burners on the outside, Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. I really like Antonio Brown. I've liked him. This is the third season I've been talking about this kid, and he's done nothing but gotten better and not disappointed me. I like Antonio Brown in this game a lot. And on the other side, just like to run the ball. You can run the ball on the Steelers. But the problem is this, people. You got Bilal Powell, you got Mike Goodson, you got Chris Ivory. And my opinion is this. Go pick up Mike Goodson. He did pretty well last week for his first week back after being suspended. Bilal Powell is not Mike Goodson. Mike Goodson is a little bit more versatile. He can run the ball, and he also catches the ball very well after the backfield. You may want to just put him on your bench, Mike Goodson, and see what happens, because I think this is a three-headed monster anyway. Which I stay away from three-headed monsters. So the only other play that I see on here is maybe Stephen Hill, because Geno likes to throw to Stephen Hill, and Stephen Hill's becoming more consistent in the passing game. He's a wide receiver three, in my opinion. Vic, if you got anything to interject, feel free.
Well, of course, I'm going to talk about your former team.
Go right ahead.
I think that one of the major factors to think about here is, yes, they want to run Le'Veon Bell to the point where they went and traded for Levi Brown from Arizona. They got a guard now.
Mm-hmm.
So that interior line isn't that bad. I mean, once they get Pouncey back and their other guard back, they'll be pretty good, but that's not until next year. But I look for them to run the ball with Le'Veon Bell right behind Levi Brown. He is nice. But he's only been there, a week, 2 weeks over the bye week, so he's been working with them a little bit. I don't know if he knows the scheme as well. Todd Haley is his former coach, so he knows him. But I just don't see Ben and the Jets doing too much against – excuse me, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers doing much against that Jet defense. I'm a believer in that Jet defense. I might not be a believer in the Jets, but I'm a believer in the Jet defense. So I'm looking for Geno and the rest of that crew to get a victory here.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I beg to differ on that. I think with a week off and a bye and these guys to be able to relax and get their mind and body right and get whatever they possibly were screwing up the first 4 weeks, I think especially coming up against the Jets, they're riding a high. Everybody's riding that Jet bandwagon. I've seen it before. I don't know how many times I've seen it before. You're feeling good. Everything's going good. You think the Jets are riding high, and all of a sudden one of the engines craps out, and right down you go down in a ball of flames. And I've seen it too many times before. And this is just an accident waiting to happen, especially when next week they play the division rival, New England Patriots.
Well, see, to me it sounds like you have a bias. That's what it sounds like.
No. I'm just – I've been there. If no one else can tell you, a person who's been there can. I've been there. I've seen this scenario before. And I said I know the history between the Steelers and the Jets, and it's not good when it comes to the Jets playing the Steelers. And especially if the Jet offense doesn't play physical. Steelers are a more physical team. Jets, for the most part, over the years, have been a more finesse-type team, especially on the offense. Steelers' defense plays a physical game against the Jets. The Jets are going to lose the game. And I've seen it time and time again. It's not like I'm just saying this because I've left the Jets to go to the Texans. I'm saying this because I've seen it over the years that I've been was a Jet fan. So I'm not saying just because I said it, it's going to happen, but don't be surprised if it happens because this is the history that these two teams have against each other. Anyway,
sounds like you almost had a Freudian slip.
Excuse me?
You almost had a Freudian slip.
What do you mean?
You said that I support them, but then you said I had supported them. So, you know, it was a Freudian slip.
Whatever. Anyway, let's move on to this college football game. I mean, this other game. you know where I'm going. Jacksonville versus Denver Broncos. You know what? Denver can be run on. I think MJD is going to be able to run the ball. I don't know how much. Luckily, Blaine Gabbert's not playing. And for those who've been listening to me, you know that I can't stand Blaine Gabbert. He's one of my worst quarterbacks that I think shouldn't be playing. And he's not playing this week. Chad Henne is taking his spot, which is a good thing for the offense of Jacksonville. It can be a bad thing because they're facing the Denver Broncos. Quite naturally, they're the most anemic offense in the NFL. I think they score about 10 points a game, which is absolutely horrible. That's absolutely horrible. But I think MJD is going to be able to run the ball, and Justin Blackman should be effective in there because Chad Henne likes throwing to Justin Blackman. Justin Blackman is a very good wide receiver. Unfortunately for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Champ Bailey is going to make his season debut against them. That's just one more shucks in the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, and for those who play in IDPs, and I know you play in IDPs too, Vic, and I shouldn't be saying this, but you probably already know. Come Monday, Von Miller is back on the roster, and they're going to be active to play next week. So you may want to grab Von Miller because he's due back on Monday. He'll be in the building practicing, looking at film or whatever on Monday for the
The thing about that is they're really concerned about his well-being as far as, what repercussions are going to take place because of all of this crap going on. I'm not sure if he's going to be that effective right away. Yeah, he's worth a pickup, but not somebody that I think you should go ahead and just, I'm just going to get him right now. I personally am going to wait on him just a little bit. So, that's just me.
I wouldn't. There's no way I would wait on him. Because the fact is, if you wait on him, somebody else is going to scoop him up, and it's going to be too late. Week nine.
Okay.
Week nine.
All right. Okay.
So I would rather pick him up now. If I decide to sit him on a bench and he explodes, at least I have him on my team versus somebody else having him on their team and using him against me. So I would pick him up now and then just sit on him. And I expect him to play well. First game out of the box. I really do. Anyway, on the other side, these are no-brainers to me. All these players I name out of here are all no-brainers. Absolutely. Peyton Manning, Knowshon Moreno, Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and Wes Welker are no-brainers. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to go one more. I think Monte Ball is a no-brainer. You know why? Because I think Denver is going to get up so high on these guys, and I'm not saying they're going to cover the point spread, but I think they're going to be up comfortably, that there's a chance that Peyton Manning may not play in the fourth quarter, and there's a chance that Knowshon Moreno won't play in the fourth quarter. And that's the case, then Monte Ball is going to probably be in there for the most part and be able to pick up some junk points. And junk points are just as good as any other points in fantasy. So I would put Monte Ball in the flex position because I think he's going to definitely get some work in here. I absolutely think he's going to get some work in here. So let's move on to another game. This, to me, this is probably going to be a real tight game. I really believe that up to a certain point. I know these guys are going to hit each other hard, real hard, because both these – defenses are pretty physical. One's a little bit more physical than the other, but I do believe these guys, this is going to be a pretty physical game. Talking about the Titans visiting the Seattle Seahawks, this is, it's hard for me to say this because I think he's the only viable play for the Tennessee Titans, and I'm talking about Chris Johnson. And from what I've seen of the Seattle Seahawks, they can be run on. Their deep pass defense is tough, but they can be run on. They've been run on more than one game this past season, even though Chris Johnson is not the most effective runner this year. They can be run on, and that's probably the only viable play that I would put out there to use, especially with Ryan Fitzpatrick being the quarterback for the Titans against this crazy defense that they have in Seattle. My opinion that they're going to run the ball. You may see, depending on what the injury level is of Marshawn Lynch, and there's two things going on with Marshawn Lynch. They say he's dealing with a hip issue and a non-football injury. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, I don't know if it's, and I'm just putting it out there. I don't know if that means he's got something going on other than injury type of football injury, or it's something other than that. And it could be a something like a Von Miller associated type. I'm just putting it out there, just speculating on my point. But they made it a point that when they said he has a he's dealing with a hip problem or hip injury, that he's also dealing with a non football injury. So I don't know what that means. That sends red flags to me. So you may see Christian Michael. Not Robert Turbin. Robert Turbin is the change of pace back. So, Marshawn Lynch fans, rather than be surprised at what may happen after this game, I would, if you haven't done it already, I would grab Mr. Christian Michael and just stash him. Just to be on the safe side. You can always dump him if it's just if it's nothing, but just to be on the safe side, Christian Michael, who happens to be the direct backup to Marshawn Lynch, I would definitely do that, in my opinion. Now I'm looking at these wide receivers. I think there's a pretty decent rapport with Golden Tate that Russell Wilson has, so he would be a wide receiver 3 in my position. In my opinion. The other ones are too inconsistent for me. Golden Tate's been the more consistent one out of the wide receivers, so I would go with that. Quite naturally, you play Marshawn Lynch, and I've started Russell Wilson in a few of my leagues. So, Vic, you got anything you want to interject on there?
Sure. Two things. According to a lot of fantasy gurus, you want to sit Russell Wilson this week. I can see why, because you want to run the ball a lot. And, you know, they're at home, so it's not going to be a big deal for them to have to come from behind and throw the ball a lot. That 12th man, actually, there's something to it. There's actually something to it, unless you take them out of the crowd, unless you take the crowd out of the game. They're like having a 12th man on the field. But Russell Wilson is not that guy right now, because he doesn't have all the weapons. That's the only reason why. He doesn't have all the weapons. He's working with second-string players, even though Sidney Rice at one point was a top-tier player. He's had a couple hip replacements or hip surgeries. And a guy that you might want to talk about picking up off the waiver wire, if he's there, is Percy Harvin. Percy's targeting 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, he plans to be back. And I think they go on bye not too shortly before that or after that. But Percy Harvin is a guy. No?
Seattle's okay. Bye week 12.
Oh, 11. Week 11. Week 12? I thought it was week 11. Okay.
No.
Well, Percy Harvin is a guy that I would be snatching up and just stashing. If you have an IR spot, put him on your IR spot and let him sit there. Because you know, once he comes back, he's going to have immediate impact in the return game and on the offensive side of the ball. Because Russell will have somebody to throw to. So that's my one thought about this matchup and these players. So
all right.
That's about it, bro.
Let's go to the Saints visiting the Patriots. You play Drew Brees. That's a no-brainer. You play Darren Sproles. If you're in dire need of a running back, Pierre Thomas is the main back, I should say, for lack of a better word. He's the main back in the backfield. I think he can be used effectively in this game. I would put him in the flex position. That's exactly where Pierre Thomas for this week fits. He would fit in the flex position for me. Quite naturally, you're going to play Jimmy Graham. You're going to definitely play Marcus Colson. On the other side, you got to temper your expectations. It was expected that Gronk would come back, and that would bump up Tom Brady's value. Well, he's not back, so Tom Brady still got to deal with, I wouldn't say deal with, but he's still going to be throwing to Kembrell Tompkins, Danny Amendola, and Brandon Bolden, who's going to be the more or less the Danny Woodhead out of the backfield. No, Stephen Ridley is supposed to play. LeGarrette Blount's going to play. You know what? These guys, it's this three-headed monster, and I really don't like when you can't define who's the actual go-to running back on a consistent basis. I tend to steer away from that. Consistent plays here are Edelman, Amendola, and Tompkins. Even though this defense of New Orleans is playing pretty tough, I would say that Edelman and Amendola are the surefires, and Tompkins would be a wide receiver three, and maybe in a flex position at Tompkins if you don't have any better options, because there's going to be a decent pass rush that Brady has to deal with, and he may not be able to get the ball to Tompkins on a consistent basis. Victor, you got anything to say about this? Victor? Are you with me, Victor? Did I lose
you,
Victor?
Yes. No, you didn't.
Okay.
I had to do something real quick.
Okay.
I didn't do a rookie and fall asleep on the air.
you okay? Good.
Yeah. Tom Brady is for sale in my league. I'm trading Tom Brady, Megatron, and Ray Rice. And, yes, I have them all on the same team. And I'm trading all three. Until Gronk gets back, I don't trust anybody on the Patriots. Shane Vereen comes back, but LeGarrette Blount has established himself a little bit as a guy that they want to put in the game, so they're going to put him in the game. Now, Vereen's working out because he had a broken hand or something like that, so he's been able to run and stay in shape. But if he's going to carry the ball in that broken hand, guess where I'm going to hit him if I'm a defensive player?
Mm-hmm.
That broken hand, broken wrist. So, you know, I look for the ball to come out a few times. Brady, he doesn't have that consistent weapon. Now, Edelman has been doing a good job. He's been doing a good job. But I don't think it's going to be good enough to help out because Amendola is a hamstring away or a hit away from being out again. And you go against Drew Brees. Drew Brees, I don't care if they're in New England. That defense is better and the offense is potent. So I'm staying away from anything Patriots.
Okay. Let's move on to the next matchup. We're talking about the Arizona Cardinals visiting the San Francisco 49ers. I had to put that in. My wife's a 49er fan, so I had to put that little dig in there. Anyway, because she dogged me out, Vic. My own wife, dogged me out after the Houston Texans Niners game. Ugh, dogged me out.
Of course.
You know, I probably deserved it because I started. I was talking a whole bunch of mess, but that's okay. You know how I do. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Anyway, Carson Palmer. Very disappointing. I thought he'd play a lot better, but that offensive line hasn't gotten any better. I thought they would have gotten better under Bruce Arians and company, but Carson Palmer is still under duress and is going to be under duress in this game, big time. This kid is getting more and more. He may not break out in this game, but he's due to break out very soon because he's getting more and more touches because Rashawn Mendenhall has been the absolute worst and can't stay healthy either, which is nothing new. Everyone knew that, that he couldn't stay healthy. I'm talking about Andre Ellington. I told you about this guy a few weeks ago, and it's been holding true that he's getting more and more touches, and sooner or later he's going to be the number one running back. And Bruce Arians a few weeks back already said he thinks this guy's a three-down back. I thought it myself. So I think this kid, the Niners can be run on. Not a lot, but they can be run on. I think they're going to try to use this kid, and hopefully he gets about 60 yards. Hopefully he may get into the end zone. I would temper him as a flex play right now. I know Arizona's got a pretty rough schedule against the run, but I still like this kid as more effective running back on the Cardinals than Rashad Mendenhall or Alphonso Smith. So put him in a flex play. Larry Fitzgerald, I know a lot of so-called fantasy experts are saying Larry Fitzgerald's a sit. You can't sit Larry Fitzgerald. He's a stud wide receiver. You got to play him. Carson Palmer is going to look for him every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And Larry Fitzgerald is going to get his. Let me put it that way. Maybe not to the level of a Demaryius Thomas this week or a Dez Bryant this week, but he's going to get his. These other guys, Michael Floyd and Andre Roberts, they're a little bit too inconsistent for me. I would have a hard time playing them with confidence. On the other side, Colin Kaepernick is going to get a decent rush and decent pressure from the Arizona Cardinals. Regardless of what their offense is, their defense has been playing pretty well and a pretty stout defense. Colin Kaepernick's numbers in fantasy haven't been too good, even though they've been putting up wins. His numbers in fantasy have been down quite a bit from last year. And I think in some circles they're saying sit Colin Kaepernick. You know, all it takes is one game for people to get on back on the Colin Kaepernick bandwagon. And, you know, he's playing at home. I have him in a few leagues, and I'm going to play him, okay? Plain and simple, I'm going to play him. I still have faith in Colin Kaepernick. He's a dual-threat quarterback, I'm going to play him. Quite naturally, you play Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Anquan Boldin. I really don't have anybody sneaky on this side. Talk to me, Vic. Victor?
Victor, I'm here. I got you on mute because I don't want you to have to compete with the noise in the background. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Again, a game that is, I think it's like one of the only 2 4 o'clock games this week or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of people are just going to watch this on the West Coast. You know, the 49ers and the Cardinal fans. If the Cardinals try to make it a passing attack, they might stand a chance. With screens and stuff like that, they might have a chance. Other than that, all San Francisco has to do is run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have to pass the ball in this game. I'm not going to lie to you. They don't have to pass it. Darrell Washington is back. He and Carlos Dansby are going to be very formidable. The Honey Badger, Patrick Peterson, all these other guys, great. But they're not scoring. So it doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to be on the – Arizona defense is going to be on the field for most of this game. You're going to see a lot of Gore, a lot of Dixon, and a lot of Hunter. And by the way, Hunter and Dixon – well, Dixon is the goal line back. So if they're getting to the goal line, Frank Gore's coming out and Dixon's coming in. I think Dixon has scored – in the last 3 ball games on the goal line. So that might be somebody, if you're just in a touchdown lead or something like that, you might want to pick up because they'll get that opportunity a lot today. Again, if Arizona throws the ball, you know, I'm usually telling people to run the ball, but if they throw the ball, they'll stand a chance. But if not, you know, it's not going to happen. Osman Wah has been delegated to the nickel cornerback now. So all that money he made and taking care of Kerry Washington, great. He got a great wife, some money, and now he's a nickelback. That secondary can be used. That secondary can be used because without Alden Smith on the other side of Justin Smith and Patrick Willis out, Navarro Bowman has been making a lot of tackles, a lot. So, and Dante Whitner or Dante Hittner, once the government comes back online, you know, he's been making a lot of tackles too. what does that say? People are running at the 49ers, and people are throwing on the 49ers. That's what that's telling me. When your middle linebacker is leading the team in tackles, and your free safety is second with tackles. That's what I got.
All right, let's move on to this is one of the better games for fantasy. Without a doubt, in my mind, these two quarterbacks should have huge days down in the Big Star in Dallas. I'm talking about RG3 and Tony Romo. Both these defenses can't stop one another's offense. So I think RG3 and Tony Romo are going to put on a passing display. And I think both these running backs can run the ball quite well against each other's defense. So you play RG3, Tony Romo. You play Alfred Morris and DeMarco Murray. You play Jason Witten. You play Pierre Garçon. I think he's going to have a big day. You play Dez Bryant without a doubt. And you know what? Miles Austin is supposed to come back, and that's going to deflect the. Actually, that's going to diminish the supposedly Terrence Williams. But I think there's going to be a lot of going on in the aerial attack, and I would play Terrence Williams also. I happen to have Miles Austin and Terrence Williams on one of my teams, and I'm thinking I'm going to stick with Terrence Williams for the simple fact is I don't trust Miles Austin. He's a hamstring away from fitting and watching the game again, and I can't trust him. I really can't trust him yet. So I'm going to be playing Terrence Williams because I feel more comfortable going that way. And if I'm wrong, then I'll chalk it up. But I go with Terrence Williams for now. But there's a lot of fantasy to go around in here. Hopefully some of you have one or two or a few of the Redskins or the Cowboys on your team. You're going to benefit, in my opinion, greatly from it. Talk to me, Victor.
Well, this is my team, and I don't think they're going to win the game, but hopefully they'll surprise me. Hopefully. I agree with your analysis on Terrence Williams. The reason why isn't much so much that Miles Austin isn't going to be a factor. It's the fact that after Chris Wilson and D'Angelo Hall, we have rookies at cornerback. We got Bigby at corner, but he's not that good of a corner when it comes to coverage. If we're playing man coverage. If we're playing zone, he's fine. He's fine. But man coverage, he's not that good. And then you got the rookies behind him. So it'll be smart of the Cowboys to run at us. We can't stop. We can't tackle.
Yeah, so I know that.
Unless they change or work on it during this bye week, I would run DeMarco Murray up the gut at London Fletcher, at Barry Coldfield, at Riley, Perry Riley, and all those other guys at least 30 times this game. I'd let Dez Bryant, run some routes and Jason Witten expose the middle of the field, and then you got Miles Austin and Terrence Williams. There's too much power in Dallas. It's going to force the Redskins to throw the ball. The only way this will be a competitive game is if you see, and I said it yesterday, RG3 running the ball. That's the only way. Because it gets that defense out of its comfort zone. And because it's opportunistic defense. Cover two, very good cover two. Alfred Morris will have more lanes, but you need RG3 to do some bootlegs, to do some sprint outs, something to get that defense loose. And if they don't do that, it's going to be a victory for the Cowboys. Although this is a chance for us to take a tie for the division lead. So that's what I'm hoping we do, but we'll see.
All right. Last but not least, it's the Colts and the Chargers. Now, to me, now I know the Colts have been playing stingy defense the last few weeks, but they're going against the Chargers, and the Chargers like to fling the ball around. I don't know if the Colts are up to that task. In my opinion, you play Andrew Luck. You play Phillip Rivers. You play Trent Richardson. Quite naturally, you play Danny Woodhead because he's the jack of all trades, and he's heavily involved in the offense. The two running backs, Ronnie Brown and Matt Matthews, are inconsequential, basically. They just take up, give a rest for Danny Woodhead, who's really the workhorse back there. You play Reggie Wayne because I think him and T.Y. Hilton are going to be effective in this game against the San Diego's secondary. On the other side, I like Vincent Brown in this game. I really like Vincent Brown in this game, and I also like the rookie Keenan Allen. He's slowly coming up on the uptick, and I think he's going to put in another solid game in Keenan Allen. Quite naturally, the reason why I didn't mention Antonio Gates because he's a no-brainer. You're going to start Antonio Gates. You have the Antonio Gates of old. He's dealt with a foot Lisfranc for the last two seasons, and now he's finally healthy, and he's back to his old self. And he's been showing it week in and week out. So that's the reason why I didn't mention Antonio Gates, because he's a no-brainer in my opinion. These other guys, Vincent Brown, who's a third-year wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken, and Keenan Allen, who is a rookie, are favorite targets for Phillip Rivers, and you got a resurgence of Phillip Rivers. So there's a lot to go around in here. Keenan Allen, in my opinion, is a flex. Vincent Brown can possibly, and this is a reach, be a wide receiver two in here, more than likely a wide receiver three, because they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. They like to throw the ball. I can't stress it enough. San Diego likes to throw the ball, and let the playmakers make plays. All right, Victor.
Well, I got to ask, where are you getting your information from? Because you're a little bit behind the times. Ronnie Brown is starting.
What?
Ryan Matthews has been out since. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, because he got a concussion in the last game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Danny Woodhead will be getting a lot of touches, but when they're going to slam that ball, it's going to be Ronnie Brown. And I look for that to take place a lot. Now, Woodhead will get, you know, a lot. This is a Monday night game, so you're going to get to see him get featured and all that other good stuff. I just think that San Diego is on a redemptive road for this week. They lost last week to the Raiders, and it wasn't even close. So I look for Gates, Rivers, and all those other guys to come out and do damage. I picked up Ronnie Brown in one of my Yahoo leagues because somebody else had Woodhead. But I'm looking for Brown to get the ball a lot as in the running game.
Good luck.
Woodhead, yes. Swing them out, swing them to the left, swing to the right, line them up outside. That's cool. But I think the tough yards is going to come with Ronnie Brown. That's just me.
Good luck. Good luck. I wouldn't trust Ronnie Brown at all. I wouldn't trust him at all. I just don't. Don't trust him. He's not the Ronnie Brown of old, and I just wouldn't trust him. I know in the Indy it can be run on, but Ronnie Brown's not the one. Got to prove it to me. Anyway, we come to the conclusion of today. All I got to say, one of the things I have to say is, I'll give Victor a chance to say, then I'm going to close it out with what I have to say, and then we'll get out of here. Talk to me, Victor.
Well,
what do you have to say?
I mean, I want to wish everybody luck this week. I'm back on the West Coast enjoying my family and about to go see my youngest boy played in a football game because my oldest boy got a concussion during practice this week. So yeah, so he won't be playing.
Okay. Is he all right?
Yeah, he's okay. He's okay.
Okay.
But go see my youngest boy. But I'm going to miss a lot of these games because I'll be at a game. But I will have my phone, and I will be checking out fantasy scores. And this week might be a big pay week for me, Dave, Van. I didn't bet Eric, but I'm looking for a lot of money to come my way this week. A lot of money.
Oh, good. That's good. That's good.
That way I can pay off a certain somebody that won't bet me anymore because he knows that he's going to lose.
No, no, I didn't say that. I said, this is what I said. You see, you do this all the time. You do this all the time. You misrepresent what I said. What I said was, I'm not going to bet you every matchup, and it has nothing to do with if I think I'm going to win or not. I'm just not going to bet you every matchup because the last one I won is I was estimated to lose that, and I wound up winning that. So that's why I said to you, don't pay attention to these projections because they don't mean squat to me. They don't mean squat to me. That's that, and for the most part, I've seen quite a few times where they haven't held true. So, it has nothing to do with the projection because I don't pay attention to that. So, it all depends on how I feel about my team that week, regardless of the projection.
I know you're living in fear of losing to me, and I understand that. You know, it is what it is. Because happened last week, Jerry? What happened to your team last week? You know, what happened to them? I think I doubled your score last week. I just want to put that out there.
You can put that out there, and for the simple fact that I was on, I think I was on a buy, I was on a buy. Let me put it this way: your team at full strength and my team at full strength. Who wins that matchup? Your team in full matchup. I mean, full strength. Excuse me, my team in full strength. There's no way you're going to win. No way. Absolutely no way. And it just so happens the week I played you, AP was on a bye, and so was Le'Veon Bell. Both of them weren't both of them on a bye? No. AP was on a bye.
Yeah, both of them were on bye.
Yes, both of them were on bye. So that's hey. It is what it is. So I took the loss, no problem. I knew I was going to lose that. There was no way. If I was at full strength or close to full strength, I probably would have bet you. But with what my main running back and then my supposedly second running back down in the same week, there was no way. I was just like giving money away. There was no way I was going to do that. So we'll go that route again when the time comes, and then we'll see what happens. You felt so confident going into the matchup that we had that you lost. Hey, you'll feel confident again, and then I'll have to smack you down like the master always does. But it is what it is.
Hey, I'm willing to go every week with your punk butt.
I know that.
So awesome.
I know that. See, I know that because you're that crazy enough to do that. But that's okay. I'm trying to temper you. I'm trying to control your demons that you have.
I don't have any demons. I just have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, okay. You call it confidence. I call it demons. Never the twain shall meet, I guess. Anyway, are you finished?
I'm finished, young man. Unless you think I'm snarky.
No. See, you just have to wait because this is just a comeback. I will give my best wishes and good luck to my opponent, Brent of Louisiana Coonasses. You just don't have to take this butt whipping personal. Everyone will get their turn too. I'm saying the same words that you're saying to me. Your ass is mine this week. Do not let me win this because there will be a press conference to follow. That's all I have to say. Well, is that good enough for you?
I like that. On that, I would like to say, Brent, you done got the old man upset just a little bit. He's a little senile, but he don't forget certain things. So I would love to have a video of both of you giving rival press conferences after the game. And I know you listen to the show because you listen to when we do the drafts and listen to some of the starts and sits because I've seen some of your moves directly after the show. So, yeah, I want to see a press conference, Brent. Let's get it. All right. Bye, you baby.
Victor, I told you already, regardless if I win or lose, I'm putting a press conference out there. Regardless, if I win or lose, the press conference will follow. So, Brent, this is a holy day. God help you if you lose. That's all I got to say.
Wow. Wow. God help you if you lose? What
yeah,
because
I can be merciless when I need to be. And don't lose this game. Do not lose this matchup, Louisiana coon asses. Don't lose.
Mm-mm. Somebody done woke up a sleeping old dude. You got some Jared Hall?
Oh, yeah, I have mine today. With that being said, everyone, enjoy your games. Enjoy your son's game, Victor. Hopefully he comes out of it healthy. And hopefully you win all your matchups. I was 9-2 last week, all my games, so I was very happy last week, but it doesn't look good for me this week. We'll see what happens, though. Anything can change. Enjoy the games, enjoy Monday night, and everyone have a good Sunday afternoon watching football. I'm out. I'm going to be way out if this doesn't, I can't stand, let me refresh. I can't stand Block Talk. Get me off Block Talk, please. I can't.
Hey, dude,
I'm working it. My page is frozen up. I can't even get off of it. I got to, hold on. I'm going to do it this way. Victor, take it easy. Enjoy the day. Enjoy your son's game. Enjoy your time with your family.
If it doesn't work, just hang up.
I am. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Later.